Waiting on God does not mean doing nothing. Waiting on God means not going outside of God to do something.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about what it takes to stay on course as you discover God's purpose for your life.
But as long as you are operating within the will of God, based on the word of God, then you are situated to see God move in your circumstance providentially.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Tomorrow can be a pretty scary destination, especially when you look down the road and see it heading somewhere you don't want to go. But God has a way of rearranging realities like that. And today, Dr. Evans will bring us some reassurance about what he has planned. Let's join him.
In Alaska, there was a bounty put on the head of wolves. A certain area had become overrun with wolves, and they needed to decrease the number. And so they said, for every wolf that a hunter killed, they would be granted or given $5,000. Bill, a hunter, called John, a friend. He said, John, we can make a lot of money, $5,000 a head on a wolf. We can make a lot of money. Are you committed to go with me wolf hunting so we can make some of this money? John, a hunter himself, said, absolutely. Absolutely, Bill, let's go. So they got their equipment and put their tent together to go to the center place where they would begin their hunt in the morning. So on their first night, they had bunkered down in the tent. But in the middle of the night, Bill was awakened by the sound of growling. He looked up and turned up the lantern light to see his tent surrounded with wolves. There were about 50 wolves surrounding his tent, all revealing their teeth with their tongues hanging out, with saliva dripping. These were hungry wolves surrounding the tent of Bill and John. Bill woke up John. John, John, get up, get up. John aroused from his sleep, said, what, what? He said, John, look, we're rich. See, it's all about your perspective, how you see things, because sometimes you can be surrounded by circumstances that don't look good. Situations that appear to be not in your favor. Circumstances that look like they're going to devour you. But it all depends on what you see. As we've been going through the book of Esther, we've been attacking the theology of luck. You cannot have divine providence and luck. Chance, fate, happenstance. Because the providence of God means that God is in control by either causing or allowing all things. You cannot have a sovereign God and him getting caught by surprise. He is the only person in history to whom you cannot give a surprise party. And he never goes, oops. Because his sovereignty is his rule over all. His providence is his arranging things to accomplish his sovereign purposes. Again, his sovereignty is his rule over all. His providence is how he hooks things up to accomplish whatever his purpose is in a given situation. And so that's why some people get mad at God. That's why some people depart from God. That's why some people get renegade on God. That's why some people want to attack God, because given their definition of God and given what's going on in their life and circumstance, they can't put the two together, and so they back away from deity because their God is too small and has been boxed in too tightly. As you have seen through the book of Esther, God's providence allows for evil. God does not do evil, he does not endorse evil, but he utilizes it to accomplish his purposes. Our responsibility is to be aligned with God so that we are being moved as he moves us, so that we're picking up signals that he gives us. And the major problem is not that God is being God. The major problem is we're so misaligned with him that we miss him in what he is doing, even in the negative, bad circumstances that come our way. You've all seen growing up and participated in dot to dot. That's where there are numbers on a page. One may be here. Two may be over here. Three may be over here. Four may be over here. Seven may be up here. The numbers are all over the place. Random order. And there's a dot by each number. And your job is to move the line from dot to dot. You are to move the line from one to two to three to four. But one, two, three, and four are not sequential. They're all over the place. Only to discover when you move from dot to dot to dot to dot, when all the dots are complete, you've got a picture. You remember, come on, think back. You're not that old. When the dots are all connected, there was a picture. You would have never known that by merely looking at the numbers. And if you're only looking at your life circumstances, but never connect the dots, you won't get the picture. And the picture is the kingdom purpose of God that he causes or allows to take place in our life, including the negative, including evil, including the devil, never justifying disobedience, but using his purpose and his plan to accomplish his will. Let's go back. Esther is a beautiful young lady. And through a series of providential events, she becomes wife of the king. Mordecai, her cousin, has set this thing in motion. But Mordecai will not bow before Haman, the second in charge. Haman decrees to kill all the Jews. And then Haman rolls the dice. And they come up 12 months from now. No, he didn't do it like that. He did. He rolls the dice and they come up 6 and 6, 12. We will kill them 12 months from now. Because you have to understand, when the devil rolls the dice, God controls what number comes up. Because there is no luck where there's providence. And so there's a 12-month gap between his declaration of death and his executing that declaration. Mordecai says to Esther, "You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's not just that you're pretty. It's not just that you're in the king's palace. He allowed you to be pretty and he allowed you to be in the king's palace because he had a kingdom purpose for you to perform in this arena." Then through another series of providential events, God flips the script. And through a delay, when God stops Esther from declaring to the king what was going on with Haman, he blocks her in the middle of her sentence. He stops her because he had other things he had to arrange so that Mordecai would be elevated and Haman would be demoted. And ultimately, Haman killed. He even allowed the king to walk in the garden to give Haman time to be all over Esther. So the king thought Haman was assaulting his wife when he was really begging for his life, and he didn't give him a chance to explain himself and had him executed on Mordecai's gallows. Because he's dot to 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 dot. He's creating a picture through the most normal of events, through flipping the script. And so now we come to the final two chapters. The final two chapters of the book, verse 1 of chapter 9. "Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day when the king's command and edict were about to be executed on the day." Somebody say on the day. "On the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, it was turned to the contrary, so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them." on the day. Now, you can't go too fast here. See, this is 12 months later. On the very day, 12 months from when Haman decided the Jews ought to be exterminated, on that day, the day, God turned it around. You didn't hear me. We're talking about on the day. Not a day, the day. Exactly the day when the Jews were to be slaughtered at the last moment, the day, is when everything, it says, turned to the contrary. In other words, he flipped it on the day. Just in case you didn't know it, all of us have a day. Oh, you don't believe me? All you got to do is read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. He calls it the evil day. That's the day the devil has determined to do you in. That's the day the devil has determined to destroy your life. That's the day when the devil, through the Hamans that he brings into our experience, wants to ruin your future. That's the day. On that day. Well, wait a minute. This day is 12 months later, but you have to understand, God's been setting it up for a year. It didn't come and fully reveal itself till the day. Because God is always moving over a period of time to bring his conclusion about at the right time. And so God allows evil to develop. He allows evil to perpetuate itself. He allows evil to replicate itself in order to situate evil in the right place so that while he's delivering you, he's handling them. And he's doing that so that this day becomes a bigger day than the original day when it started. Because on the original day, 12 months earlier, all he had was a plan. By the time we get to this day, Haman is dead and God is getting ready to wipe out everybody who was against the Jews. Because God always has a bigger plan than you are aware of. You just haven't gotten to the day yet to see it worked out.
Dr. Evans will be back in a moment with a look at why that bigger plan may make things worse before they get better. You know, God has a bigger plan for your life than you're aware of, too. And if you're having a hard time recognizing the Lord's fingerprints on your circumstances, you'll find the help you need in Tony's brand new book called Pathways. It explains why every part of your life, including the painful parts, are divinely blended together, preparing you to fulfill your God-given destiny. Your life has a purpose, and Pathways will equip you to find it and hold on to it, even when you feel like giving up. We'd like you to have a copy of this brand new book as our gift. All we ask is that you make a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on the station. And if you'll do that right away, we'll include all 6 CDs in Tony's current series on the life of Esther, including a bonus message we won't be presenting on the air this time around. Please visit TonyEvans.org and let Tony know he can count on your support. Then let us send you the Esther series CD and the new book Pathways as our way of saying thanks. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or let a member of our resource team help you by calling us day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, let's get back to Dr. Evans and our message for today.
God is so precise in his movements in our lives as we are living under his rule. He will make things worse in order to make them better. See, you got to watch this. God is so precise that in order to accomplish what he's seeking to accomplish in our lives, as we align ourselves under him, he will actually make things worse before he makes things better. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let the children of Israel go. I'm not going to let them go. So they go through the 12 plagues. The 12th plague, the firstborn in Egypt was slain. Exodus says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He said it 12 times. I'm not going to do it. Okay, God said, oh, yeah, you're going to do it. So he get all these negative things happening, and he lets them go. But then the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Wait a minute. He's already got a hard heart. God made it harder. Okay, oh, you want to have a hard heart? Let me show you how hard your heart can get. So God amplified the ice on his heart So his heart became even harder. And when his heart got even harder, he said, oh, I let them Jews go. I changed my mind. Army, go get them. So wait a minute. God, they already free. After the 12th plague, they're free. Don't make that man's heart any harder, because it got hard enough when he hardened it himself to let us go free. No, God says, I'm going to make his heart so hard, he's going to come after you. Has God ever released you only to have the problem come back at you? Has God ever set you free only to have the thing you thought was solved come right back at you again, so that you thought you would never have to deal with this again? You thought you were far from this again. You thought you wouldn't have to deal with those people anymore. You wouldn't have to deal with this problem anymore. You wouldn't have to deal with that boss anymore. You wouldn't have to deal with this financial situation anymore. And it looks like God did a number on his blessing. Because sometimes, when God is after something bigger, he'll make things worse. Yeah, Joseph, I know you told the cupbearer his dream, but I'm going to let him forget you so that you have to go through 2 more years of the same mess. God will sometimes, to accomplish a bigger goal, let things get worse. So Pharaoh says, oh no, I let him go. I don't know what I was thinking. You were thinking with your hard heart, not God's. So now he says, we're going to go get him. We're going to kill him. God said, come on, come on. Come on. And he just brings them along and brings, come on, go get them. So the children of Israel, like we do when we see things go left, when they were going pretty good for us for a while, we look up and they turn to Moses and said, you done brought us out here to die. You done brought us out here to die. God, why? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me now? Why are you doing this to me for so long? Come on, God. God saying, come on, Pharaoh, come on, come on. You want to kill him? Come on, come on. Let's let go. I'm going to help a brother out. Come on. And so he just pulls him and pulls him and pulls him. And Pharaoh goes, and the children of Israel, you know the story, walk through on dry land. Oh, it says, go get him. And the Egyptians went in. God closed up the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army was drowned. In other words, God made things worse to show how big a deliverer he can be. So God will at times, does it different strokes for different folks, make things worse to accomplish his greater kingdom purpose. So if you now understand the bigness of providence and you're walking in alignment with God and things go worse, don't just react to what you see. React to the one who let it happen. So that God is accomplishing something bigger than what you're seeing in your circumstance at the moment, on this day. Now we're told in verse 4 that Mordecai had become great in the king's house. His fame spread throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai became greater and greater. Mordecai has gotten promoted through a series of events that had nothing to do with him. I mean, it has nothing to do with him because he predicted the king's assassination plot. But because of what Haman did, he got promoted. So I need to make a parenthesis here, because far too many Christians climb the secular ladder of success and don't make a kingdom connection to their reason for being there. All they see is more money, more prestige, and more power. They do not connect the fact that God allowed me to get to this place because he wants to use me at a higher level. He doesn't mind you being blessed as long as you understand that is a kingdom reason why God has allowed you to get that promotion, get that degree, get that opportunity, have those resources. It's not just for your car, just for your house, just for your clothes, and just for your notoriety. And so you must ask the question every time God comes through for you and takes you from where you were and moves you to another level, what was your kingdom reason for me being here? What spiritual influence do you want me to wield with the opportunity that you've given me? Do you know what the Christian community can do and what the kingdom of God could do if all Christians became kingdomized? That they understood that there was a supernatural purpose for my presence in this situation. And so, here we are. Mordecai is in this situation. on the day. On this day now, it's time for them to get involved in the will of God. Because we're told in verse 6, at the citadel in Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. On top of that, we learn in verse 10, this included the 10 sons of Haman. The decree was, if anybody comes at you, Jews, based on the decree of Haman, you're able to get them back. Let me explain. God's will calls for your involvement. You do not sit on the side. This is spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare means you must be involved. You don't sit back and say, oh, God's going to do it, when God has given you weapons to use to do it with. That's again why Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18, it talks about the armor of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about the weapons of our warfare, that you are called into spiritual battle. You can't pray for a job and not go job hunting. Talking about God going to do it. Okay? You cannot not do what God has placed in your hand to do, to be workers together with him. You must apply the spiritual to the situational, and God's purposes and power works through our obedience using whatever legitimate resources God has provided us, because God wants us involved in the battle. In Exodus chapter 17, when Israel was fighting their enemies, Moses sat on a rock. He held his hands up. It says, as long as he held his hands up, Israel prevailed. But the moment he dropped his hands, Israel lost. He held his hands up with the rod of God. Why do you have to hold his hands up? Because he had to make heaven the central thing. But the people had to battle on earth. So there will be things you will have to fight through. There will be problems you will have to battle. There will be situations that you'll have to negotiate. Just like she had to use her clout for the king. Mordecai has to use his clout with the king. There will be circumstances that call for your action. You cannot passively sit by and trust God. Waiting on God does not mean doing nothing. Waiting on God means not going outside of God to do something. But as long as you are operating within the will of God, based on the word of God, then you are situated to see God move in your circumstance providentially. The subject of the book of Esther is the providence of God intervening on behalf of the people of God against the evil that is against the people of God in order to accomplish his kingdom program. This book of Esther is about the providence of God that looks like luck, chance, fate, and happenstance. It's the providence of God on behalf of the people of God against the evil one, Satan, and his minions against the people of God in order to demonstrate for the glory of God the advancement of the kingdom of God. Only God will set in motion what is finally to happen in your life and in my life. It is God who will make the intersections.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up part one of a message he calls Date with Destiny. He'll come back on Monday with a conclusion, but in the meantime, the full-length version is available online at tonyevans.org. It also comes as a part of Tony's current teaching series on the life of Esther, which includes a lot of additional material and a bonus lesson we won't have time to bring you on the air. Remember, we're offering it as our thank you gift when you make any donation to Tony's ministry, large or small, along with the brand new book I told you about earlier called Pathways. So make a point of visiting us right away at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. On Monday, we'll have more from Dr. Evans on how God directs us toward our date with destiny, no matter how many wrong turns we make along the way. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.